The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
I imagine you may have comments to offer on our first story this evening. The photograph that circulated on social media over the weekend, and which has been proven to be genuine, of the champion trainer Gordon Elliott. Philip Quinn is Irish Daily Mail sports writer. Can I ask you, please, Philip, to describe this extraordinary photograph of Gordon Elliott?
Well, the photograph appeared, Matt, on social media on Saturday evening, as you say, and it shows Gordon Elliott sitting on the back of a horse that's clearly passed away. The horse doesn't have any saddle or any girth or any bridle on it. Elliott is sitting on the horse. The photograph was taken at his gallops in Cullentraw in County Meath, and he's got a phone sort of cocked to his ear, and he has a sort of a peace gesture with his two fingers. He looks to be, well, the word cheerful is probably the wrong word, but it does come across that way. He certainly doesn't be showing compassion for the animal that's prostrate underneath him. So it's not a particularly pleasant photograph. It's one that was circulated on Saturday night. Elliott responded later on Saturday night himself, where he said he was aware of the photograph in circulation and he was helping the Irish Horse Racing Regulatory Board, IRHB, with their inquiries. He didn't deny it, which suggested to a lot of people that perhaps the photograph wasn't a fake. A lot of people were hoping that it was. Through yesterday, we were waiting for word from Gordon Elliott for confirmation, for comments, and it came late last night, about 10:15, a statement came out where he addressed the speculation and the rumours, and he confirmed that the photograph was true, and he apologised profoundly for any offence that the photograph has caused. And since then, basically, social media, radio stations like yourself, newspapers, every media outlet has just gone into overdrive.
Not surprising when you see the photograph, but what are the likely consequences for him of this?
They're pretty serious. The IHRB, they sort of the rules and the rules people in Irish racing, they would have been probably better known as the Turf Club back in the day. They will call Gordon Elliott to account here. There will probably be a hearing this week. I imagine there will be before the end of the week. They are under pressure from all sides to deal with this as quickly and as decisively as they can. Elliott can be charged under the bringing racing into disrepute rule, which will leave him open to a fine or more likely a suspension, a revoking of his licence for a period of time, that to be determined. I think he expects that to come. I gather he's on the floor with this. He's in utter turmoil. He feels not quite broken, but very much on the back foot. Perhaps I might come back to that a little bit later on. But yeah, I think the first thing that will happen is that there will be a suspension imposed. Now, that in itself, Matt, causes something of a dilemma, really, because the way Irish racing works is you get a suspension, but it doesn't kick in straight away. You don't miss the next day's racing, your six-month ban or a three-month ban or a year-long ban, whatever the duration is, it doesn't kick in straight away. You get 2 weeks to sort of put arrangements in place. You've got horses entered for races, etc. Charles Burns, the trainer, for example, has had a ban imposed upon him, but that ban doesn't start till this week. Therefore, he was able to have a runner yesterday and have a winner. So the ban won't kick in until possibly after the Cheltenham Festival meeting, and this creates a difficulty for the British Horse Racing Authority, the BHA in Britain. They're the governing body there. They've been very strident since this photograph appeared. They regarded it as shocking and abhorrent, and they want to see action taken swiftly and decisively. But if Elliott is banned this week, it won't kick in until after Cheltenham, so the BHA may then have to impose a ban on Elliott running his horses at the Cheltenham Festival. So this is going to run.
It is indeed, but that also brings up the issue. What about the various owners of the horses who are trained at his stables? What is their reaction likely to be, given that their horses then, would they be able to run, or could they run under the guise of a different trainer?
That's a fair point. Well, you've seen support, first of all, from Giggenstown House, the O'Leary brothers, Michael and Eddie. They've come out and they've accepted that Elliott erred. They've accepted his apology. They've accepted it was an error of judgment, but they are supporting him. And they have probably around 40-50% of his stable in County Meath, 40-50% of his the horses are from Giggenstown, and they will want those horses to run at Cheltenham. There is the situation, if Elliot is prohibited from bringing his horses to Cheltenham by the BHA, there is a possibility that someone could take a licence out in his name from his stable. That could be done, so a number two or a number three could step up, because you're right, owners will want to see their horses running at Cheltenham. Because it's the holy grail. It's where you want to be.
But there is another issue.
Some may be a little bit wary of being associated with Gordon Elliott, and they're probably holding their position at the moment. While there has been support from Giggenstown, which I think Elliott has welcomed, they have a long relationship, the O'Leary brothers, with Gordon Elliott. Between them, they've won Gold Cups with Don Cossack. They've won two Grand Nationals in Aintree at Tiger Roll. They've won the Irish National. They're very supportive. But what will be intriguing, Matt, is say such well-regarded flat owners as the Cheveley Park Stud, which is a huge breeding operation in Newmarket. They've only branched into jump racing quite recently, and they have a number of horses with Elliott, two of whom are favourite for races at Cheltenham. Envoy Allen is the best known, has been never lost a race, and they are reserving their position until the judgment is passed by the IHRB. And when that comes, and if there are sanctions imposed upon Gordon Elliott as regards a licence suspension or something like that, or worse, I think Cheveley Park may well act, and they may decide to pull their horses out. I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised.
See, we don't know, and we have to be careful here for all sorts of legal reasons, but there have to be questions asked about animal welfare, don't there? If you see a situation where it appears from this photograph that there's a rather, I don't know how you would describe the attitude towards a dead horse, and whether that is typical of trainers or of the industry, that once a horse is dead, it's dead. But could it be that there would be a significant number of owners who would then raise questions about care?
I think care is crucial. A lot of people have been onto phone-ins, onto shows, and on social media, and they've been castigating Elliot. And yet, Elliot has an excellent record in terms of equine welfare. His horses regularly win the best turned out horse awards at race meetings. So, you know, that is in his favour. You know, he also this to me was probably a one off. It's a mistake. It shouldn't have happened.
Yeah, how did he explain it when the statement came out last night? And obviously there are people not accepting it, because I see he had a sponsorship arrangement with a major betting firm,
that's
which
gone.
Has dumped him, and that says something when it's the betting firm that's dumping you. But what did he actually say as an excuse for this?
The excuses, and you can see it in the statement, he says, my initial reaction was to get the body removed from where it was positioned. This is after the horse has fallen and has died. I was standing over the horse waiting to help with the removal of the body, in the course of which, to my memory, I received a phone call, and without thinking, I sat down to take it. Hearing a shout from one of my team, I gestured to wait until I was finished. Such background information may seem trivial at this time and will not allay the concerns of many people both within and outside the world of horse racing. However, I feel it's important to provide people with some context surrounding this photograph. So he's saying, look, he got a phone call and he just sat down the horse and he just somehow happened to take a picture. There's a little bit too many things just happened to have happened at that time. There are others who will think the photograph may have been staged. I think Gordon Elliott knows he made a mistake here, and I think he's going to pay a huge price. He's being hung, drawn, and quartered in the court of public sort of angst here. And, you know, you have to take a step back and say, like, okay, the horse had passed away. It wasn't of much service to anybody else afterwards. Possibly, there was a lack of respect shown to the animal, because the animal was bred by somebody, it was owned by somebody, it would have been ridden out every day by a stable lad or a stable lass. So there was Elliot had a duty of care to do things a bit differently, and I'm sure he regrets not doing things differently. But, you know, I think there has to be did he commit a crime? To racing
Philip,
people he did,
there.
But to people outside of racing, maybe he didn't. So I think a little bit of balance. But I think what we can expect here, Matt, is he's going to get a huge suspension. He's going to be out of racing for a while. And in that time, he's going to have to regroup and rebuild and see can he come back again and be as successful as he has been, because he has been extraordinarily successful.
Okay. Philip, stay there. I want to bring in the animal rights campaigner, John Carmody. What do you make of this, John?
Well, I'm incredibly disgusted, like anyone with a heart, I think, Matt, looking in at these images. But, you know, whilst we're spending time talking about Elliot and will he or won't he make it back into the industry again, and I hope to God he never, ever sits on the top of another horse again, we need to raise a bigger question here, and that's about the industry itself. I mean, for many years we would have spoken about the fur industry and animals and circuses and all that other stuff and all that cruelty and exploitation is well documented. There's been very little airtime over, you know, in general in the media in terms of talking about the cruelty of horse racing. So, like, it's finally given us a chance to talk about this industry, because up until now people would go into the betting shops, they would place their bets, and many obviously would dress up and go to the likes of Aintree and the Grand National, and no one would ever question the reality and the industry of those horses and the exploitation that we believe is happening very much in that industry. So I'm kind of happy that we're getting the chance to talk about this.
What evidence is there of exploitation of these horses? These horses are bred to compete. They probably wouldn't exist in the first place if they weren't bred to compete. And the vast majority, would seem, of horses are well cared for by trainers and by owners who have a genuine pride and love for their animals.
You know, in many ways, it's no different than the likes of the greyhound industry, Matt, where thousands of these animals are bred every single year. And the one thing I definitely want to say about this industry as well is that I can't think of any sport that comes close to horse racing where there's so much debts every year, because if there was, it would be banned almost instantly. And like every single year, I believe up to 13,000 you know, foals are bred into this industry every year, and very few actually make the racing grade. So that in itself, I mean, there's a downward spiral, you know, in terms of what happens to those foals shortly afterwards. But the reality is that wherever animals are used, corners will always be cut. I've been saying that for a hell of a long time. I mean, and that's the long and short of this industry. For anyone that thinks that they can go into the horse racing and place their bets and leave, and that it's all nice and colourful and that these animals don't suffer, are seriously being misled. I mean, there's been every single year in the media headlines after these big races and these big grand nationals, we hear of many, many horses having to be put down. You know, you can see them snapping their legs, breaking their necks when they're trying to jump over fences. And that's probably the only kind of, you know, insight we often get into this industry. And it's waking people up, thankfully.
Philip Quinn, are those criticisms of the horse racing industry fair and accurate?
I wouldn't agree with them at all, and I'm not. I'm a sports reporter, Matt, and I dip in and out of horse racing, and I'm not saying I've never worked in a yard, but I have been into yards on media outings, and all I can say is, from my dealings with the horse racing trainers, including Gordon Elliott, Willie Mullins, Henry de Bromont, Noel Mead, the National Hunter is the area I'd be more familiar with. I have been to Aidan O'Brien stables as well, and I can tell you, if there's such a thing as hotels for horses, these trainers operate these operations. They look after their horses, are given the very, very, very best of care. And I wouldn't agree with those comments at all. Those horses that do jump, there is inevitable. There is an element of risk, but fences have been modified. The safety regulations are much more stringent than they would have been before. So no, I wouldn't agree with that. Horses are taken care of, and horses also, when they retire, are taken care of. And in that situation, I would, you know, Michael O'Leary and J.B. McManus in particular, look after horses when they're no longer able to sort of perform at the racetrack. But horses, particularly National Hunt horses, they're with us for 5, 6, 7, 8 years, and they bring us to great places. The Irish people have a great love of the horse. The Irish, the actual very first steeplechase took place here in Ireland, from Donnerail to Buttevant in 1762. The whole basis of steeplechasing from a church to another church, it started here in Ireland, and we have a great love of the horse. And Gordon Elliott loves horses. He does. He loves them very much. And his background, he's come from nowhere to be a most successful trainer. He has made a mistake. He is prepared to be contrite, and he's prepared to accept the sanctions that are going to be imposed upon him. And right now he is in the middle of a storm, and the public sense of anger is immense. It's immense. because the images are graphic and they're distressing and they're disturbing. But I think it's a one-off. And I would hope that this isn't the end for Gordon Elliott, even though there are people out there who seem to think he should never be allowed on a race course again.
John Carmody is one of those. I'll give you the last word on this, John Carmody.
Well, you know, I'm not out. I've never been out for anyone to lose their job, but I hope this image hits the hearts and the minds, I suppose, of people all over the country today when they're looking in on top of this. And they need to realise that in this day and age, we shouldn't be profiting off the backs of animals. We've done it for so long. The question now needs to be, do we continue on using and profiting off of these animals? And I think most compassionate people who will look in on top of this image today will hopefully choose to go elsewhere the next time they're looking to place a bet.
Okay. Thank you very much, John Carmody, animal rights campaigner, and Philip Quinn, sports writer with the Irish Daily Mail.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.